Hey, Roros, do you ever call up Royally Obsessed on Alexa?
It's one of the easiest ways to listen to the pod. You can hear our latest episode every week there, thanks to Amazon Music, which has a full catalog of podcasts, including Royally Obsessed.
All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Royally Obsessed on Amazon Music. Oh no, mine is listening to me say that right at this moment.
A royal reminder, new episodes drop every Thursday. Tune in on Amazon Music. Now, on to the show.
Hear ye, hear ye. Please rise for their majesties of Royally Obsessed, the podcast for all things royals.
Three cheers for His Majesty the King.
It's that time again, time for Royally Obsessed. I'm so happy to be back with you, Rachel. It's so good to see your face.
We're also twinning as we do, virtually twinning.
Always, virtually.
Stripes,
Rhett
and Stripes.
Yeah. Welcome back. What am I supposed to say? Oh, follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast. Email us. These are important reminders. Email us at info@gallerypodcast.com. So sorry, I forgot. I'm Roberta.
I'm Rachel. Why did I say that so weird? Wow, we're really on a roll already.
We've got the sillies going into a long weekend. I think that's appropriate.
Yes.
There is a lot to talk about. I also just saw, and I know we're not talking about this, so I'm mentioning it here, Charles and Camilla in Northern Ireland for a two-day tour. So there you go. News always breaking. What
always
do we have
breaking.
Today, though?
Well, we are talking about quite a bit, as you said. We've got an email about Earthshot, the Chelsea Flower Show. Kate and William have been nonstop out and about. We're going to get into that. The bizarreness around Harry and Meghan's post-Women of Vision night out, in particular, the coverage of it. Obviously, that broke during our recording last week. We can finally talk about it in depth today, this week. We've got a Pippa wedding throwback and an ode to party pieces, so much more. I'm really giving you the grand scope of what's ahead.
There's a lot, but we always leave time for a royal refreshment.
And now it's time for the weekly royal cocktail.
This week, I'm obviously thinking about Memorial Day weekend and heading to the beach, the unofficial start of summer. What is your summer drink of choice, Rachel?
Oh my gosh, what a great question.
I know we talked about the pink Aperol spritz. That was a big one.
I mean, I always love kind of like a French 75 or a French 75 variation. Mm. That's always my thing.
They had that at the wedding I was at this weekend, actually. That was one, the bride's drink of choice, and it was so lovely.
So good. Wait, but today I'm sipping this. I borrowed it from Matt because remember, this was my gift to Matt I bought at the Royal Muse gift shop, the Royal Windsor Gin with raspberries from the Windsor Castle Estate. We talked about it during the pandemic on the episode when it came out, but obviously I don't think they ship here. It was the obstacle back then. I don't know if that's changed, but it's really good, Roberta.
Do you remember the woman in the gift shop saying that she had such a hard time finding it and was like so thrilled to see it in that gift shop? Like
she was in line
like
behind us
item.
And influenced me to buy it. And I
is
gave it to
delicious?
Matt. It's really good. But Matt was like, is this King Charles merch for our wedding anniversary? That's why I gave it to him as a gift. It's kind of funny, but he liked it. He's enjoying it. So
it's the bottle. It's like the gin is bright red. So it's kind of really
it's
interesting.
Really pretty.
And it has like a floral label. It's so pretty, actually. You got to keep that bottle after.
Yeah.
You put like a flower in it or something.
Will.
Well, how was your weekend? We should catch up before we get into everything.
It was lovely. It was really good. I mean, I feel like it's just been so busy with end of year things with the summer coming and school ending and all of that stuff. I was going to say that speaking of things I bought in London, I'm spacing it out, but I read at bedtime for Finn the Winnie the Pooh Meets the King book.
Aww.
And he was mesmerized, mainly because he's really, really interested in the Mouse King from the Nutcracker. It's a weird tangent that we don't need to go down, but he's very interested in kings in general. So it was just really fun. It was such a sweet story and a really creative one. So if anyone doesn't have that book, you should get it. It's
so you're really like sweet. Kind of holding all the books and then like giving it to him one by one.
Well, I'm just like I bought.
She bought so many books.
Things. Yeah,
dear
so
listeners,
it's just like,
she bought so many books.
I just feel like if I give it all at once, it doesn't have the same impact, and he just is like next. So I try to like space it out.
Smart.
Yeah.
That's so
How
smart.
Was your weekend? You had the most beautiful looking wedding, but your dress. I told you I wanted this to be a news item in today's episode.
This was the first wedding that was actually local for us. So that was really kind of amazing to be able to just like hop in a car and get there. And we hosted people all weekend, which was fun. And it was a rental. It was Shoshana from Rent the Runway.
I love Shoshana. You looked so stunning.
Thank you. Thank you.
Should we move on to the listener email, Roberta?
Let's do it.
Okay. We got this great note from Maddie on the heels of the Earthshot news that it will be taking place in Singapore this year. We talked about that last week on the podcast. She mentioned she's a longtime listener of Royally Obsessed, and it's one of the highlights of her week, which is so kind. Thank you. So Maddie writes that the Singapore announcement got her thinking about Earthshot in Boston last year, which Maddie actually flew in to attend. She flew all the way from Michigan, and her number one goal was just to catch a glimpse of Kate. But it went beyond that. She ended up getting a handshake from the Princess of Wales during Kate's visit to the Early Childhood Center at Harvard. Maddie's strategy ended up that she waited 3 hours in total, so she played the long game. She made friends with the police officers on where to stand, but that they also were the ones that told her that Kate would not be doing a walkabout. So that was kind of interesting. Mm. Still, Maddie got the best ever surprise when Kate did do a walkabout. They were the last hands that Kate shook before moving to the other side. And I loved this expression Maddie shares. I was shaking like a leaf out of excitement. That's such a cute way to put it. Maddie did send us a whole bunch of pictures, which were wonderful to go through. And she also asked us the million-dollar question, Singapore, are we going, Roberta?
Yes. I mean, I hope so. I guess we don't have tickets yet, but I would
love
to go.
Someone needs to sponsor us to go as well.
Maddie is a testament to waiting 3 hours in the cold in Boston.
Yeah, because it was a really freezing time. I thought this was interesting too, because we got more about Earthshot from William this week on social media, his visit to Notpla in London, which is the sustainable packaging startup that won the Earthshot prize last year. It's a plant and seaweed based alternative to single use plastic and designed to reduce landfill and ocean waste. I think it's great. We're going to talk about this more, how much we are getting more of the social media stuff from William and Kate, but I liked in this particular video getting to see more of the impact that these grants from Earthshot are making, how, according to Notpla, it enabled them to scale, open doors to accelerate all their efforts with business leaders and things like that. And I think just looking at what the true impact of Earthshot really is for me is the spotlight, because there are climate change is terrifying for me. The more I read about it as in preparation for this and just in general, it's like we need to do a lot more to really stop the planet from warming. But I do like how William is spotlighting this so much.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of handholding with the winners, which is really nice.
Yeah.
All right. This week in royal history. Are we ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
And now, this week in royal history.
Pippa Middleton wedding. Flashing back to 6 years ago, it was last Saturday, was their anniversary, May 20th. I was also at a wedding at that point, but Pippa Middleton married James Matthews. Now, reminder, he was 41, she was 33. He's a hedge fund manager, and he's a former professional race car driver, just like his dad. I get big Henry Talbot from Downton vibes for sure. Interestingly, I didn't know this, but his dad, James Matthews' dad, is the Laird of Glenafric, which is a 10,000-acre estate in Scotland, which he will inherit one day, making Pippa the Lady of Glenafric one day, which is kind of a royal title. So that's exciting. She kind of joins her sister with a royal title there. So flashback to her star turn holding her sister Kate's dress in 2011. We know that Sarah Burton for Alexander McQueen dress with the buns down the back, the cowl neck, she kind of stole the show. Her derriere, as the press liked to call it, launched Pippa mania. She just burst onto the spotlight. And so ever since then, 6 years later, her wedding was the talk of the town. Her own dress for her wedding, Pippa wore Giles Deacon. It was all over lace, that gorgeous, gorgeous cap sleeve. Her sister Kate wore a blush Alexander McQueen dress with bishop sleeves and was wrangling those kids most of the day. I'm sure you remember, Rachel, those shots of her with George and Charlotte.
I mean, I personally think that those are the shots to remember. Prince George was only 3 and Charlotte was 2 at this occasion.
Little
also,
tots.
The reports that George supposedly had a tantrum during the proceedings and Kate told him off, which was like obviously speculation of what actually happened based on images. But I love those pics.
I do too. And that it was just such a beautiful location. It was St. Mark's, which is a 12th century church just 6 miles from Bucklebury. Of course, that's the little village where they all grew up, where the Middletons obviously have their family home. The evening adults only reception was at that family home, and guests were actually asked to bring an outfit change for the reception. Have you ever gone to a wedding where they asked you to bring
an
outfit?
No, that's an intense request, actually.
I kind of wish that they had.
I mean, I love dressing for weddings, so it's a fun task.
My friend had 3 outfit changes this weekend, so I am all –
fully supported
it.
For the guests,
for
right?
her. But I, as a guest, also wanted to kind of change into sequins and, like, you know, dance the night away with her. So I feel like that's really fun. A reminder that Meghan Markle didn't attend the ceremony, but she did attend the reception. That was a Finding Freedom revelation. I think the policy was no ring, no bring. Harry even talked about that in Spare as well. There was this mention of Pippa Middleton's wedding in Spare that Harry and Meghan had switched the place cards at the reception so that they could be sat closer together. But Harry said that wasn't true. So I guess flash forward to today. They have three kids, Pippa and James. They're Arthur, who's four, Grace, who's two, Rose, who's one this June. They've bought Buckleberry Farm Park. They bought that in 2020. And there's glamping. There's a cafe. There's a petting farm. They also are launching this online shop, which was live for a couple weeks in the beginning of this month. And then actually, I think maybe they sold out of everything, which is really interesting. But it has very Martha Stewart curated, gorgeous home goods vibes, like it's like porcelain vase and things like that. So we'll see if that relaunches. I know the website link wasn't working for me, so maybe I just am missing something, but
Like overload or something. I was going to say two things just looking back at this. I feel like the pictures of Kate, you know, we talk about the cousin, the safety of cousins. Kate just looks so at ease in the photos and so smiley. And I think it's got to be that feeling, the joy of a sibling wedding. I think that that's probably, it was probably really special for her. It made me realize how much I want those pictures from James's wedding to Alizé. You know, which I don't think we'll ever see. But I was thinking about just that, you know, she looked to be having so much fun with George and Charlotte despite George's tantrum.
Yeah.
Also, I looked back at what the Sun did publish the week or the day of Pippa's wedding. Did you see someone to send the image? Did you see this? I mean, horrible. And I think this was definitely a glimpse and foreshadowing of what Harry and Meghan were dealing with.
Oh my gosh, I did see this, that all about her butt in pictures.
The headline on The Sun was, it's Meghan versus Pippa in the wedding of the Rears. And this was 6 months before Harry and Meghan were even engaged. And I think that this was said, according to Finding Freedom, to be an influence in Meghan kind of skipping the
actual ceremony.
So yeah. It's just, I don't know, the hideousness of all of this.
I know Pippa mania turned kind of dark at the end toward her wedding day. Like people were, other outlets and sites were publishing some really mean pieces about her and photos of her. It was awful, awful stuff. So yeah. I know that was probably, it was just like such a joyful day, and to have that kind of in the background was not pleasant, but the British media never ceases to, or tabloid media, I should say, never ceases to surprise. So let's talk about Kate and William on Overdrive.
Yes. Okay. So I'm just going to go through this quickly. Appearances by Kate and William since we last talked, Roberta. Kate first popped up at the Anna Freud Center. This is obviously Mental Health Awareness Week. Their focus was on anxiety. We got a Kate talking to camera video. She was promoting very directly an anxiety toolkit, which is fantastic. I thought that video was great. She's wearing her Susanna London dupe, but in green. You know, she had that in white when she went to Grenfell Towers. Second, we had William rowing with the Royal Navy. Again, Mental Health Awareness Week. We received a highly produced video with an in-depth conversation. I went to YouTube, watched it in full. It's like about 6 or 7 minutes. Really, really interesting. Well done. Next up, we had Kate, the queen beekeeper. That's what I'm calling her. A reminder about bees being part of the vital part of the ecosystem. This was all in honor of World Bee Day. We get a gorgeous Matt Porteous shot. That's kind of, he's kind of become their go-to for these really kind of influencer-like photos.
I loved this shot of her.
The beekeeper suit, everything was great. And then finally, I'm sure there's more breaking right now, as you said, Kate's surprise appearance at the Chelsea Flower Show picnic. This was to highlight the campaign for school gardening. She sat with students from 10 different schools. We received a slideshow on Instagram. There were two different reels, multiple great photos, kid interviews, very produced. She was, again, one of my favorite dresses, the Me and M pink one that she wore when she met Mila from her Hold Still campaign. That was a nice kind of tying everything together. My reason for rattling these off kind of quickly is that I feel like we've just had this Wales's blitz of social media. And I'm kind of like, are they throwing out the royal rule book here, Roberta, where they don't give any F's about overlap anymore? Because even Kate, specifically Kate's appearance at the Chelsea Flower Show, kind of stole Charles and Camilla's thunder, and I kind of loved it.
I just saw that headline that was like, the king is furious that Kate stole his thunder at the Chelsea Flower show.
I didn't see the headline.
Ugh. I mean, they are going full throttle. Like, Matt Porteous is on retainer, it seems. Will War is on retainer for them. Like, these people are like really putting in the hours. The question I have is, how does this work with Charles? We know he hates when people steal his thunder.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think that's what I'm wondering is, like, have we just reached a stage where are we back to the households not talking to each other? They just definitely have been way more out and about than the king and queen. And maybe it's also a response to all the negative headlines they received leading up to the coronation that they're MIA, they're not working. Maybe they're just like, look, that's not the case here. And we're deciding that we're just going to go our own way. Because if we're getting that press, it's not fair.
Does it not matter anymore since we know the next king will be William? Like, does it not matter that they are stealing the thunder because Charles is already king? And so I think what the, like, and this may be just totally conspiracy theory, but I feel like the, like, prevailing concern was that something could happen where Charles, like, the public opinion rises against him and he actually doesn't get crowned. And now that he's crowned, there's nothing to worry about. So, like, let William have and Kate have all the attention. Who cares? You're the king and queen. Like, you can kind of sit back and relax. Like, for me, we always go back to, like, the age of retirement for them. Like, are they just – are, like, can they finally be comfortable? Can they finally put their feet up? I don't know. Maybe they
they've
like
got
that
the job.
Kate and William
they've...
are taking over the reins.
Exactly. I mean, I love seeing Charles and Camilla, but the star power really is Kate and William. And I keep thinking about what happened when we watched the coronation in Green Park and how the crowd just swelled when Kate and William walked out. I actually have a video of us. I must have been filming the screen when that happened. And you just hear the eruption of everyone celebrating them. So I kind of like this. I like hearing from them. And I also really liked Kate's talk to camera thing. It felt really direct. And there was a link to this anxiety toolkit. I knew what to do. I thought that was great. So all in all, we're going to hear from them more. I hope this is the norm and not just for Mental Health Awareness Week.
Yeah, I know. And that always rubs me the wrong way too, mental health awareness, when, like, you're estranged from your brother and sister-in-law. Like,
yes.
I have so many questions about that still.
Well, I was going to tack on that when I did watch the, in particular, the rowing video, there was a moment where one of the people that William is chatting with talks about his own journey with mental health, and he was a submariner. It was really, really compelling stuff, but he also says it's okay to not be okay. And I know that's not the direct quote of what Megan said when that whole interview with Tom Bradby, but I think it made me think of that. And obviously then my mind goes to that contrast where they're not walking the walk with their own family.
Like, they're staying busy and posting so much in order to not pay attention to what's really happening within the family.
And that's not to say, I just want to add this caveat, it's not to say that I don't think that they care about mental health, because I do think they do, but I just, it's that disconnect for me.
It's a disconnect for sure. All right, let's chat about this car chase, because I know a lot has been said, and I actually feel like with space that we've had in this last week, we've been able to kind of hear a lot more reporting on it. I think
thankful for the space side note.
Oh, I thought it was so nice to kind of take a step back, because I think the knee-jerk reaction is always not the best reaction. And of course, we don't mean to say that we think that their statement was not correct. I 100% want to talk about this with you, Rachel, though, because I think that what's interesting is that when you have that kind of time for the media to sink in and do its actual investigations, then it does feel like we just know so much more information. So the statement from the Sussexes, this was a relentless pursuit by a ring of highly aggressive paparazzi that resulted in a near catastrophic car chase. So I want to give a little context to this. We found out later that they actually had a stalker arrested on their property in Montecito on Monday. So before coming over to New York, or maybe they left Monday, but a man was arrested on Monday for stalking at their Montecito house. They also had a court case hearing on Tuesday in London where their lawyer presented the court with the argument about Harry's security and paying for it privately. We now know that the court rejected that appeal and that he will not be allowed to pay for private security from Ravik. So I wanted to kind of go through the timeline with you, because I know, Rachel, you talked about this on Times Radio UK. You were questioned about the whole thing, and I wanted to hear your take, but I wanted to go through some of the bigger points. So 10 p.m., they leave Women of Vision. This is like true crime documentary.
Take us through it,
like,
Roberta. I feel like I'm ready.
Like, we need a documentary.
But this is where
this
we got the additional information that really has trickled out over the past week.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of missed a lot of this. So maybe, hopefully I'm not repeating myself too much for our listeners. But so 10 p.m., they leave Women of Vision. They're assisted by the NYPD. There are paparazzi on cars and bikes. The reports are that there are three cars that are Harry and Meghan. So they're in one, and then they're in Doria, of course, and then two cars with security in them, and then three with paparazzi, and then six paparazzi on bikes. So there's like a total of 12 moving vehicles in this entourage. At 10:30, they are going up and down FDR, which is on the east side, trying to lose the paparazzi. That's a highway for anyone that doesn't know in New York City. It runs along the east side, just like the West Side Highway runs along the west, and it's massive. It's huge. And so they were going up and down there trying to lose them. They were trying to lose them, we found out, because they were staying at a private residence that they didn't want the paparazzi to find the location of. Rachel, my theory was that maybe they had the kids with them. They didn't want the paparazzi to know where the kids were also staying. That would be because Doria's with them. Usually Doria's at home when they go on these trips.
Well, and then if they found the location, they would be camping out there. Yeah, I mean, I am not at all discounting their experience, because I feel like a lot played out. It was a snowball situation where high speed was something that the Sussexes also never said. That was introduced by the media. No one said that. So I think that the idea, people got this image in their head that there was this chase around Manhattan, and then people started thinking about the logistics of that and how that would play out with the grid
poking
setup.
Holes in that. Yeah.
Yeah. That I think was just, you know, that wasn't part of it. I think also, you know, the UK media was particularly fascinated by the FDR. And I agree that the FDR, even at slow speeds, feels dangerous to me, but I'm a nervous driver on that highway. I just think in general,
I think back to, sorry, I want to
no, go
just
ahead.
Like interject that I think back to that really horrific, I was living in New York at the time when this pickup truck crashed into the West Side Highway pedestrian walkway. And I mean, I think multiple fatalities were reported. So I like really think back to how easy it can happen and how dangerous it can be because there's so many bikes and people along the highway as well. And so I understand that. Obviously, this was 10 p.m. at night, so not as many people. But that just stood out in my mind as that horrible car crash. Or it was on purpose that that
I think did, that was the thing that was hard for people to visualize. Because like a lot of the questions we got asked or that came up is that this type of paparazzi behavior doesn't really happen in New York City. Mm-hmm. I don't know the situation firsthand in Los Angeles, but it seems like that's more prevalent there.
Yeah.
I think there were some really great pieces that came out.
Well, let me go back to the timeline real quick.
Yes.
Sorry.
Oh, yes.
No. So 10:45, they get to the 19th precinct, which is 67th and 3rd Ave. They then decide that it would be best to lose the paparazzi if they switch to a yellow cab. This was a big question mark in my mind because I feel like without tinted windows, without the protection of an SUV, that kind of was interesting. But okay, they switch to a cab, they drive around the block, but unfortunately their path is blocked by a garbage truck, which then they have to kind of wait. Paparazzi swarm them again in the cab. The fare, they get dropped off back at the precinct. The fare is $18. They tip in $50. That was pretty generous. And at 11:10, they leave the police precinct. They're not followed, and they end up at this private residence where they have been able to keep the location secret for all this time. Wonderful. All right. So I wanted to play this clip from the cab driver from the night. It's 37-year-old Sunny Singh. He's from Queens. He talked to the press a lot. He actually talked to the Washington Post. He talked to the New York Times. This is him in conversation with an anchor from NBC News.
Would you describe it as chaotic?
Yeah, chaotic. You could say chaotic.
But
yeah.
Catastrophic?
With me, I don't know what happened previous in the day, right? Mm-hmm. With me, it was chaotic, but not crazy, crazy, right?
Do you think the paparazzi went too far?
I don't know. When we were there, they kept their distance when they were following us in my cab.
Sunny Singh told us he's the taxi driver who picked up the couple, but he says they drove around for only 10 minutes before the street was blocked by a garbage truck.
People just came out of nowhere with cameras and started snapping pictures.
Did they seem worried?
They seem worried. They seem worried and nervous as well.
I guess what I take away from that, and Rachel, I want to hear your thoughts too, but like what I take away is that I feel like the statement that the spokesperson for the Sussexes put out was a little dramatic. It was a little bit, and that's not to say that's wrong. We know Harry's lived trauma, that's totally justifiable from his point of view. But I do feel like near catastrophic is a bit hyperbolic. What do you think?
Yeah, I think my take is just like, I totally agree that they had something really traumatic happen. And I don't dismiss those thoughts. I think I'm just still left with more questions than answers. Like even from with the paparazzi, like what was the goal of this this pursuit? Why? What picture were they trying to snap? I also am curious, why didn't Harry and Meghan stay at a secure hotel? Because I think they are aware of the hunt, for lack of a better word, yeah, of their image. And it does feel like hotels have much more security in place for like a private entrance, like, you know, underground, like we know from like the Carlisle or the Mark or things like that.
But then it's like you think they would camp out in the lobby of the hotel, or like they would like send people up
for
room
service.
Like,
I don't
think all those things where it's like, I just don't know if they're ever feeling that safe anymore, which is really sad.
Yeah, I think that was what was really illuminating for me about this, is just that this is their everyday. And we even commented last week ahead of this news breaking that we noticed their rushed entrance to the car. We also learned from the New York Times that they had sort of changed their plan to enter in front of a pool of photographers. There was only one official photographer inside the Women of Vision Awards. And then they shifted Harry and Meghan at the last second and went in through Hertz, which is why we saw all those photos through the glass. I think that there's just a lot of uneasiness for the Sussexes in general.
I think that's what I'm grappling with too, is like this paradox of publicity with them, because I think, you know, they show up to this award ceremony looking so beautiful, so dapper, and then they really rush in. But if they had played ball with the paparazzi before the event, if they had posed for photographers outside the venue, would this have changed? Would this have not happened? I think that the New York Times wrote a really interesting story about that, and I really suggest everyone read it, about the economics of paparazzi, how they've been kind of squeezed into this. There's so many at the bottom fighting to get their shot, and they don't get paid that much anymore for these shots. And so they have to get a shot that no one else has, which would be those back of the cab, you know, photos, which of course we don't need to see. I think that's the realization the public needs to grapple with too, is that we don't need to see them in the back of the cab running for their lives, or how they feel that they're running for their lives.
Yeah, I think that that's the internal conversation we all need to have. It's like, because they don't owe us any of these photos. And so, but then the playing ball, does it minimize the attack that they experience and this type of situation from happening? Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought it was also really interesting, this Backgrid comment, when, you know, I think there were follow-up back and forth statements from the Sussexes, and it said something along the lines of, we demand that this, any images all be handed over. And there was a statement that said, in America, this is from Backgrid, as I'm sure you know, property belongs to the owner of it. Third parties cannot just demand it be given to them, as perhaps kings can do. And the statement goes on. And I feel like, again, I'm so not accustomed to seeing a paparazzi chase in New York, but knowing that this is there every day when they step out, likely, not maybe not to this degree, it is just quite something to examine. And
I had the pit in my stomach reading the Backgrid statement a couple times, because the one part where they said, also, it doesn't seem near catastrophic because Meghan was smiling in some of those pictures in the back of the cab. And I thought, that's when someone like blames a victim for something, like sexual assault, or like says like, well, she was smiling when we cat called her, so it was fine, or we wolf whistled. And, you know, like when they, you know, in New York, they like people yell at you to smile sometimes, like women especially. It's like, ugh, like that just made me feel so icky and gross that Backgrid would even say that, to say, well, she's smiling, she must have loved it, she must have had a great time in the back of that cab.
I think that that's the root thing for me here, is I do feel like whatever the circumstances, they felt uncomfortable. They felt that their safety was jeopardized. And I think for me, that's where the story begins and ends. Like, it just shouldn't have gotten to that point. I think debating the minutia, like you said, like she was smiling in the back, like that doesn't matter to me. I just don't like that it happened.
Yeah. Even I think the media and reporters, like we are part of the media. Like, I'm not saying reporters are doing their job by investigating this, but I did feel like some of the coverage was sort of like trying to poke holes in this story, really trying to go after what really happened, and discounting what they said they experienced. And I don't think that that's fair. And I think their spokesperson put out a later statement more recently, the Sussex spokesperson, that said, anyone who believes that Harry didn't have trauma from this, like, that's abhorrent. Like, you should, his mom died, like, being chased by paparazzi. Yes, the driver was drunk in her car. Like, yes, there were other circumstances. Yes, they weren't wearing their seatbelts. But I think that to say that someone's fear is not valid is so messed up and so wrong. Like, they can still have fear even if it's a low-speed car chase. That's what I just – I hate that. I hated people trying to poke holes in that. The coverage was – it kind of tilted toward – what they're saying is not true. That was the tone.
Just questioning the narrative. Yeah. Did you think it was odd that there was no outreach from the palace? I know that was reported by, I think Omid Scobie had a tweet about that.
I kind of didn't expect it at all. So I just didn't expect it. Did you?
I guess I didn't. I didn't expect a public comment, but I think that there was, he was mentioning that private outreach wasn't made. I think I would just, I don't know that we would know about that. I don't expect to know about it, I guess, if there was any outreach. But you would think that this just is this great unifier for the brothers when something like this happens that is so close to the experience of what happened with their mom. But I don't know.
You would hate for it to actually, like, to have there been actual fatalities, or have there been a crash, or had there been an accident with a pedestrian, that's the catalyst for them responding. Like, you'd hate for it to get worse. Like, you almost just wish that someone would speak up now, and how far does it have to go? The gulf between them has never been greater, and it will never be healed. And I feel so depressed about that. But that's how it feels, is that they're never coming back.
Yeah. But wild thing to have happen.
I know. All right, before we adjourn the royal pod, let's go to our highs and lows.
It's time for the royal highs and lows.
We'll end on a high note, but first start with some more lows. I just saw this, that the woman that was hit by Sophie, Duchess of Edinburgh's motorcade, actually died. She was in critical care for 2 weeks. This happened in the beginning of May. Helen Holland was 81, and a cop on a motorcycle that was with Sophie's motorcade struck her, and she passed away. So devastating.
So
I know
sad.
Sophie sent a statement of condolence and sympathy, but I think there's an investigation ongoing with the cops, and it was obviously not Sophie's fault, but it's so, so sad.
Yeah, very, very sad. Milo is a total pivot. Party Pieces, RIP, it is officially sold. We were kind of tracking this a little bit, but it was sold to an entrepreneur named James Sinclair. I just feel like it's the end of an era. Like, we know that Kate and Pippa and James were all really involved as children in sort of this, you know, literal launch at the kitchen table by Carol and Michael. I also am just kind of wondering now, how will we get Carol Middleton tidbits? Like, she kind of would scoop, you know, release them through the Party Pieces account, but now she's not tied to it. So, womp womp.
Maybe she's taking over Pippa's burgeoning online store. Who knows?
Ooh, maybe she'll launch her own Instagram account. That would be exciting.
That would be exciting. My high is this story that I feel like it has been confirmed by multiple outlets that Charles is going to be staying in Transylvania in the beginning of June. He actually bought a property there, and it's a private property. It's very bare bones. I just love this for him. It feels like he's like logging off before summer really picks up, and like we have Royal Ascot, we have Trooping the Color, we have, I think there's going to be Eugenie's baby being born. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the
Royals. Yeah, Fergie spilling that, right? End of May, she said.
I feel like Transylvania, he actually is able to really lock off. Like, he doesn't take any staff. I think he has, like, local chefs come in and just cook.
No staff, just local chefs.
Just local chefs that come in and make all his meals. No, it sounds really nice, actually. So,
what a life. My high is stateside-based Julia Louis-Dreyfus went on live with Kelly and Mark to talk about her wedding dress. Well, she was talking about her movie, actually, but she mentioned that her wedding dress was inspired by Princess Diana way back in 1987 when she married her husband, Brad Hall. And I looked at the pictures. Roberta, if you click that link, everyone should look this up. But it's so poofy. It has, like, that over-the-top frills that Diana had. She has a really long bouquet, very similar to Diana.
Oh,
a little
God.
Flower crown. They've been happily married for so many decades, but I just kind of was excited to see that homage.
I love JLD so, so much. And now I'm going to go rewatch all of Veep because that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, her movie, You Hurt My Feelings, is on my list. I actually had it as a calendar reminder in my Google Cal.
Is it
to watch
to be
it.
Good? Did it, it's supposed to be good. Did the critics like it?
I didn't check. I just love those types of movies and I love her, but it made me laugh because last night I was like, you hurt my feelings. That's all I wrote. And I was trying to decipher
like, what is this
what
calendar reminder?
This calendar reminder. And I was like, oh, it's her movie. But anyways, yeah. I want to know, did any listeners model their wedding dresses after Diana? I was just so curious.
This,
anyways.
This looks like a very accurate replica of Diana's. It's really funny that she had
I would think it was bridal inspo in the 80s.
All right. Well, just a reminder before we close, please leave us a royal review. We love reading those on the air. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and send us an email at info@gallerypodcast.com. What are your thoughts on the Sussexes car chase? What did we miss? What did we get right? What did we get wrong? We want to know. So let us know. Email us at info@gallerypodcast.com. All right, so till the week after next, because PSA, we are off for Memorial Day week, an extended long vacation for us. So we're off next week, no new episode. We're going to suggest some episodes, though, to go and re-listen to in case you're feeling like you need that royal hit of your week.
Yeah, check it out on Instagram is where we'll post it.
Yeah. All right, till the week
so
after
till
next.
Till the week after next.
God save the pod.
Her Majesties of Royally Obsessed have retired for this episode. God save the pod. And if you fancy the podcast, give Royally Obsessed the royal rating of 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join our Facebook group, Royally Obsessed. Royally Obsessed is a Gallery Podcast production.